Welcome to the Backup CD. Every week we talk about a random topic. Topics are as important as the U.S. economic tax policy and as trivial and fun as personal Marvel Cinematic Universe movie rankings. We're a group of students who have lots of different interests, and we wanted to share our conversations with you. You may not always be interested in what we're talking about, but hey, just like that backup CD you have in the back of your car in case your phone dies, we're something to listen to. Let's get started. Welcome to another episode of the Backup CD. I am one of your co-hosts, Clint Bisbee. We also got Dylan Passmore. Dylan, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Dylan Passmore. I am a Chex Quest fanatic, and I'm ready to talk about Chex Quest.
Carter, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm Carter.
Harrison.
Harrison, yeah, that's my last name. My first name is actually John, so it's
Wild.
John Carter Harrison.
President,
but I go
name.
By Carter, so please, if you call me John and you see me around, I will probably punch you. No, just kidding. But
John Carter Harrison is like the most presidential.
No, it really is like John Carter Harrison.
So we mentioned last week that our topic this week was going to be Canada. Unfortunately, the guest host we wanted to bring on to talk about Canada, our good friend Bryson Bem,
ran away to Canada. So.
No, but he was unavailable, and we wanted to save that discussion to have with him, and so we're doing a bit of a topic change here. We're going to be talking about video games instead, their broader cultural impact, some fun facts about them, why people like them, some of our favorites, and then we're actually going to do what we did in our first episode, a bracket challenge. We're going to take three of our favorite video games. We're going to do a little bracket challenge to see which one is the greatest video game of all time based off three white guys from Utah, Idaho, Georgia area and their thoughts on it. So,
Utah, Idaho, Georgia area.
No, if we triangulate everything, we cover most of the United States.
Yeah. We cover most of the Midwest.
From the America region.
Yes.
From the region of America. I do notice that the Aggie Radio Network does have some listeners outside the U.S. I don't know if those are for our show, but people do listen. So, yeah, let's dive in. Let's talk about video games. Dylan, what are your thoughts on video games?
All right, well, they're pretty fluffin' huge, I can tell you that. Overall, I want to say they are, in 2018, they were a $43.4 billion industry. Over 164 billion adults play video games, so that adds up to about like 43% or something like that of Americans.
Wait, is that American adults? Or
I mean, so there's 43% of American adults that play it, and more than half of Americans.
Wow.
Yeah, so everyone seems to be playing video games. I mean, if you look at specific demographics, men play more video games than women, it seems. That difference is greater at younger ages.
So as women get older, they're more inclined to play video games?
Well, men are less likely to play
video
games. Yeah,
I see a stat here that said there are two times more adult female gamers than young male gamers. I don't know how accurate that is, but this is what it says.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm not quite too sure. I'm just looking at Pew Research. Has done a couple of things. So in like the ages 18 to 29, you have 72% of men who play video games versus 49% of women. 30 to 49, there's 48% of women compared to 58% of men who like playing video games. And then as you go up 50 to 64, 29 women, 34% of men, and then 65 plus, you have 23% of women and 25% of
men. Wait, 25% of men over the age of 65 play video games?
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy. Huh?
Okay, but wait. How broad of a term is this just like farming simulator on Facebook?
It could be a farming simulator, it could be a phone game. Basically
any
video game.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So we don't have a bunch of 65-year-old grandpas playing Call of Duty.
I mean, yeah, if you consider things like Trivia Cracker, like Words with Friends video games.
I think it is fair.
Yeah, and I think a large portion of people use their phone to play video games.
There is a broad category of memes in the meme sphere that dive into PC gamers and console gamers beating the crap out of mobile gamers all the time.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. Actually, one of my favorite video games is on my phone.
What is it?
It's Brawl Stars. It's really fun.
He's pulling it out to show it to us.
There's a whole bunch of zany characters. That's the thing. So
it's by the same people who made Clash of Clans.
Yeah, Clash of Clans. So it's Supercell, and it's
as a disclosure, we were not sponsored by this game.
Or were I? Was I? No, I wasn't. But I don't know. It's pretty fun. There's some good mobile games out there.
There are.
Like, this one, like, it's a battle royale and something. Like, you play on a team. This game, you basically play soccer. But you have El Primo. He's my favorite character. You have all these zany characters. Some of them
soccer.
Are robots. And, yeah, you play soccer and you kill each other. So,
really? Wow. That is very wild.
It's a pretty fun game. So, actually, I think with these statistics, these Pew Research statistics, I think some people, like, they play video games. They'll play, like, I don't know, like solitaire, but
yeah.
They won't say, oh yeah, I'm a gamer.
Right.
But yeah, no. No, and that's the thing. When it breaks it down, so you have puzzle games, which are the most popular types of video games. 62% of Americans play puzzle games. Next is strategy, another 62%. Adventure games, 49%. Shooter games, which I think is generally when we play video games, I think.
That's what we perceive.
Yeah, that's what we
perceive. At least on your console, PC, mainstream kind of gamer games.
Yeah, that's at 42%. Role-playing games, so that's like Oblivion, Skyrim, that's 39%. Team sport or racing game, that's 33%. And then simulation, which is at 32% of gamers play those games.
My one cousin, who is in his mid-20s, plays Farming Simulator, and he loves that on his Xbox. It's one of his favorite games.
So a game...
Who is this?
This is my cousin.
Oh.
A game I'm actually into is it's called Surviving Mars.
Oh, yeah.
I've died so much on it. It is... I don't know. I must be playing it wrong, but it's a hard game. But it's a simulation game, and I'll sit there for like 6 hours when I play it.
Is this why when I text you, I'm like, hey, do you want to go out and do something? You're always like, I can't. I'm working on a paper. Is it because you were earlier playing your simulation on Mars game?
I haven't played it in like 6 months. But
yeah, I can attest to that. Dylan is always in his room typing away on something. So.
Yeah, yeah, I'm always.
Okay.
I have no life. I wish I had more time for video games. I know that sounds like sad, but that's the state of my life right now. Talking about teenagers, it's most popular in terms of a specific demographic group. It's most popular with teenage boys. 84% of teenage boys play
a video game.
And 90% of those say that they have a computer or a game console. Something in their house that they consistently play on, compared to 75% of girls. And then overall, 97% of teenage boys play a video game of some kind, even though not frequently. The 84% is frequently. Fun fact, a majority of adults, especially seniors, believe video games are a contributing factor to gun violence. So,
haven't they proven that's not true, though? Isn't there data that says that's...
Yeah, well, it's not true.
But I think, even though that may not be true, I do think we can't deny that there is a significant impact on the violence culture within media that video games has brought on. You know, that violence has become more readily available as a trend within media. I mean, obviously, it's not as though video games are causing it, but video games do reflect the increasing trend towards violence in media. I'm not trying to postulate that's good or bad. I probably think that it's bad, but I'm just saying that it's a trend.
Yeah, it's a trend.
But I think also on the opposite side of that, I don't play very many video games myself personally, but I feel like more and more multiplayer online video games are becoming popular. So there's like this community of people that like I would say probably more than half the people who play video games at some point play with people, especially with like first person shooter games. Or you have like, you know, Fortnite and what is this game you're talking about?
Apex
Legends.
Apex Legends. Asex Legends.
My ignorance is coming out. But yeah. So there, I think they're also good aspects and where you're like bringing people.
And I think, you know, diving into why we're seeing the proliferation of games like Fortnite, Apex Legends, PUBG, and the more battle royale types games is because you finally have achieved a level in the gaming community. You're not saying that it wasn't there before, that interaction like Xbox Live, any kind of other similar networking abilities on consoles and PCs has really reached a stage of pretty much perfect refinement. Like, right? I mean, Xbox Live, it's a great system. I can talk with people. I can interact with them. And so it's interesting to see that Battle Royale has really blown up in the past 3 years because the technology is finally there to make it really fun and really feasible.
Well, and I think, too, there's this thing with video games that I think is people are using it to try to fill up a void of sociality, which we, I think, have kind of lost, especially within American culture, where I think people are more and more isolated and are becoming more and more isolated at an increasingly young age. And here's the thing with video games is video games provide a sense of community, they provide a sense of achievement, and they provide a sense of meritocracy. Especially you'll take a game like World of Warcraft, where in order to move up in the world, in this world, generally you have to have teammates. Like, you can't just do things by yourself.
Although there was that guy who reached like a level 129 by just cutting flowers, like just picking flowers. You heard about
that?
Yeah,
like,
It was pretty metal. Like, this guy just picked flowers the whole game, and like he reached like a really high level apparently. You know? Pretty cool.
Yeah, no.
Sorry,
but,
go ahead.
No, but generally you become good friends with the people that you play with. I mean, I played World of Warcraft with a couple of my friends, and, you know, you actually feel like you're there together doing things. Like, there's the sense of achievement, like, I'm actually doing something, and there's the sense of, well, things aren't just magically given to me. World of Warcraft, it's gotten easier over the years, as I've heard, but it used to be, like, really hard. But you can apply this thing of community, merit, and achievement to most video games, and I think that's why a lot of people, especially young people, are more retreating to video games and such like that. But,
well, and, you know, to be fair, I think video games provide, I mean, obviously we'd all like to see community in the most traditional sense, because we've seen data that's shown that community in the most traditional sense provides the best benefits. But in a world that's increasingly isolated, as Dylan mentioned, a lot of kids have to turn to social media, Facebook, Instagram, but that provides no real outlet for community, right? It's very simulatory. It's not real. And to be fair, video games are not real, but they do provide a very real part of community. You have, even though the interaction may not be face-to-face, there is interaction, there is community, there's strategy, there is conflict resolution, teamwork that has to be made. And while obviously it's not ideal, that kids are retreating to this as opposed to retreating to Facebook or Instagram is much more preferable, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, that is true. And I think, too, we live in a society... I'll go full boomer here. I've determined, like, my soul is just a 65-year-old man, and I'm all right with it.
Okay, boomer.
Well, I think part of it, too, is I think parents are increasingly afraid of things like gun violence. They're afraid of their kids being hurt in the quote-unquote real world. So I think parents, modern-day parents, almost encourage it, either by restriction of their kids' personal freedom to go out and explore the world, to spend more time with their friends. So there's this encouragement of, well, what am I going to do for fun? Well, I can play video games instead.
But it is sad to see, you know, because I remember growing up that playing video games with my friends wasn't hopping on Xbox Live. Playing video games with my friends was going over to my friend's house. We had Minecraft on the computer and Animal Crossing on the Wii.
Yeah.
And, like, those were the two games we played. And, like, we had to take turns. We had to fight a bit. But, like, I was still there with my friends. And if two of us were on the games, the other people were duct taping their younger sibling to a chair, which we did once. I mean, I'm not a bad person. But... you know, we were just dumb kids, but and so there was still this interaction outside of video games. It's just video games help facilitate that.
Yeah, no. Well, and that's true. Like, I would remember with me and my friends, we would have LAN parties, either with Minecraft or Halo or Call of Duty, where we would literally spend, like, 12 hours with each other, just locked in this room. Like, I remember we went to my buddy's Brock's house, and the only room in his house that was available for video games, the rest of his family was using the rest of the house. I don't know doing what. But it was just this this upstairs attic kind of thing. And just by the end of the night, like, we were all so miserable and sweaty because the only nutritional value we've had for the past 12 hours was oatmeal cream pies and Mountain Dew. Like,
very typical.
Very typical. Like, we would come out, it's like 6 in the morning, and we hiss at the sunlight. That's the kind of life I lived in high school. It was about every... Yeah,
Idaho.
We would do that, or we would light things on fire.
It's a good life.
It was a great life.
A young Dylan.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like none of my friends from Rigby none of my friends from my hometown go to Utah State. I don't see them very frequently, but I honestly think the reason why all of us still keep in touch and why we're all such good friends still is because of those long 12-hour nights.
Oh, like, yeah, no, definitely.
Just the immense amount of time. And we probably could have been doing other things, but it's like, we also couldn't, because it's like, what else can you put your focus in for 12 hours?
Yeah.
I can't think of very many things, so.
So this has been a really great discussion. Let's dive into some of our favorites. Dylan, why don't you, we each chose 3. We're going to talk about them real briefly, and then we're going to do a bracket challenge to see what is the best video game of all time?
Yeah, so the first one I chose was World of Warcraft. I brought it up earlier, but as you guys know, so I'm not a very avid World of Warcraft player. I think I have like one level 100 player, then the rest of my players are like at like level 20 or something like that. But World of Warcraft is a massive multiplayer online role-playing game, so an MMORPG. So it's quite the acronym. It was released in 2004, and basically it's kind of like Dungeons and Dragons, but in real life. I mean, and by real life, I mean online, on the video game. But yeah, you just choose your character, so and you choose two sides, so you have the Horde, which is also what I play, and I don't remember the other guy. I think it's like the Alliance or something like that. I always just pretend I'm a crusader for the Horde and go and kill Alliance players. But you have the Horde and the Alliance, the kind of the good and the bad guys, even though the storyline makes it unclear who's the real good guys and who's the real bad guys. But you have the Horde, they're like the orcs, the minotaurs, goblins, stuff like that.
What are you?
I have a character that's a goblin, and then I have a minotaur character who's my favorite, because he's my paladin, and I'm just online, and I just say Deus Vult over and over again, and Deus Vult, and we must retake the Holy Land. But anyway.
We know what Dylan would have been in the 15th century.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Crusader.
Yes.
And he's just making sure it was clear. And then you have the Alliance, which is like normal elves, humans, dwarves, and stuff. And then you can be like a wizard, stuff like that. It's really fun. I'm trying to think how many characters, I mean, how many people. It has about 10 million players.
And that's pretty low. At its height, it was a lot larger.
Yeah.
It's interesting that, you know, going back to the story of community, there was this individual who was very well known in the World of Warcraft community. He died in real life of cancer, and they held a funeral for his avatar in the game. And, like, a bunch of people showed up, and they wore their best robes, and they didn't bring weapons, and it was really this solemn occasion, which was nice. But then, like, an opposing faction, an opposing clan showed up and started killing everybody and looting them. And it was, you know, if you watch, what's it called, Crash Course video games, they talk about it a bit, and they were like, you know, it really talks about, you know, the level of community and the level of human decency, and because this was like an actual funeral. I mean, obviously it was simulated, but yeah, that happened in World of Warcraft.
That's messed up.
That is messed up.
Yeah.
All right, Dylan, what's your next video game?
My next video game is a classic Super Mario Brothers, wherein you play as an Italian plumber named Mario. And you go throughout this world and you kill Goombas and you try to rescue Princess Peach from the evil dragon turtle thing that...
Bowser,
yes.
But do you know who the original villain was?
Donkey Kong, the OG
Mario.
There's a bar in Salt Lake that I used to have the high score for the original Donkey
really?
Kong Mario. Yeah, I sat there for like an hour and played Donkey Kong. I don't think I have the high score anymore. But that's the one I'm talking about, the classic level where you come in and you're introduced to a Goomba and you have to jump on top of it or face death, that one. But
nice.
OG video game, very simple to play. And then the last one, this is more a shout out to millennials because all you Gen Zers don't know what it is Chex Quest. And Chex Quest was a video game that parodied the classic game Doom, which is a very good video game. And you go throughout this planet and you're trying to help these colonists from the Mucosites. There's these mucus aliens, and you're firing pieces of Chex. Yes, Chex the cereal. This is because this video game was a prize in a cereal box that you could...
What was the console?
It was a PC.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. No, well, and here's the thing. The original...
They need to step up their cereal gifts now.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, it's a nonviolent video game. You don't ever kill any of the aliens. You transport them to a facility for research, which...
And the Chex does that?
Yeah, the Chex does that. It's magical Chex. So it was...
They're little cages, you know, they just...
Basically. No, but they spent $500,000 developing this game. And it actually had a sequel because it was so popular.
Really?
Yeah, that's no, metal. It was a popular game, and it was a lot like Doom. So you had, and it was good for parents because it's like, well, I don't want my kids playing Doom. I don't know if you guys have ever played Doom, but it is very violent. And so it's like this non-violent, more kid-friendly
Doom,
and it comes in a cereal box. In a time where video games, I mean, still video games at this point would have only been like $15 or so. I don't know. It was the 90s or, well, early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s. But it's a pretty fun game. If you guys haven't played Chex Quest.
Dial up the internet.
Yeah, dial up the internet. You have to get an emulator now and get it. But yeah, it's a great video game.
Wild. Okay. Carter, you want to talk about your favorite video games?
Yeah. So all of the games that I've chosen are ones that I played in my youths, and so I have good memories with, but this is not subjective. This is fact-based arguments here. Just kidding. So the first game I chose, video game, was the NCAA NCAA football video game series. Now, granted, it is not the most popular sports video game series because the market for it is kind of niche. I mean, you're competing against like
Madden.
FIFA, Madden, where there's kind of
NBA 2K.
Broader, even outside of the United States, appeal to these games. But one of the awesome things about the NCAA video game series was its like ability to simulate like the beauty of college athletics. So I think the very first one that was ever released was in like 1993, but it wasn't actually called NCAA football until I think 98 or 99 or something. And they would, on the cover of each game, they would put like a star player from that year. Usually it was like a Heisman Trophy winner, but you could be almost like every major college sports football team in the country was on this game. It's
mm-hmm.
like Utah State, you could play as Utah State in that
oh, really?
Game. Yeah. You could play as a team in any major college football conference. And as the game progressed, you had more options. So like you could have like multi-season dynasty mode where you could be a coach for the for this team. I think one year when I had this, I played as Utah State and I won a national championship, which would never happen in real life, but I took Utah State there.
Gosh,
you know,
I'm proud of you.
It was one of my greatest accomplishments. But you could also play as a player. You could like create yourself as a player. You could go to a certain school. You could like make it randomized. You could make it to where you could go to a school that was your favorite. You could like compete.
Did you have to go to class?
No, you did not have to go to class. But you would practice, and you'd get
like athletes go to class.
Yeah.
Dylan, that's so not okay. They're students too.
Dylan. Anyway, let me continue. But you could like be in competition for a Heisman Trophy, and at the end of your time in college, you could the game that was saved on your console, whatever it was, you could transition that player into like Madden.
Oh, really?
If you were played in the NFL, which was awesome.
Was there a graduation ceremony?
No, there was
not.
Did
you go to the graduation ceremony?
Yes, I did. In my heart, I did. But it was awesome. And you could have online games against people. You could have just like an exhibition mode where you can pick a team and you can play as them. However, in 2014, NCAA Football 14 was the last edition of the game because of some legal disputes with using players' likenesses. So they never actually used players' names because that is illegal. But, I mean, they would have their numbers and you'd know who it was.
You knew. So if you were to hop on now,
you
number 12, Utah State, you know that's Jordan Love.
Yeah.
You know.
But the good thing is, this may, depending on how you feel about it, but there are some laws recently passed in states like California that would allow players to receive compensation for the use of their likeness. So a lot of people are calling for the renewal of this game, which in my mind is probably one of the best sports video game series in the history of the United States. But also a good side effect
of
these
laws. Yeah, yeah.
Those games were awesome. But they would also do things where, like, they had the each game had the top 24 toughest places to play. So, like, you go to these big stadiums, and there would be factors that would influence the team you were playing or your own team if you were playing in that thing.
So if you went to LSU Stadium,
yeah,
it was Death Valley.
It was really tough to play there. And, like, the crowd would be loud, and it would kind of, make people have penalties or whatever, but so it made it really realistic and like showed the what's beautiful about college sports. So that's why that game is on mine. The next one I had was Star Wars Battlefront series. So this is
the originals,
the original Star Wars Battlefront 1 and 2 that only I think were released for the Xbox.
No, they were on PlayStation 2.
But like as high as the Xbox.
Yeah.
I don't think they were released for Xbox.
No, they've got backward compatibility now.
But they're pretty
old games.
But I had it for the PlayStation 2.
Yep.
When I think of this, I think mostly of Star Wars Battlefront 2. I think that's the better of the two games.
Yeah, I
agree with that. Mostly because you have so many more like in-play options. You have like a campaign mode. You have these like Galactic Conquest modes. There's space battles. There's like heroes versus villains where you can be like Jedi versus like
Sith.
But probably one of the like first and funnest first person, third person shooter game that I played. I just love Star Wars. So like, there's a,
growing up, me and my cousin would play this game like incessantly.
Yeah.
Me too. Whenever I came over, we would queue up a list of all the different battles we wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And we just grind through it and see what happened.
Yeah.
And, like, I was 7, so I wasn't really good. But I loved that game,
yeah,
man.
That game was awesome. I had a similar experience. Like, I play with all my friends. You just, one of them, I would bring my PlayStation over there.
Yeah.
Or they would come over and we'd just play all night Star Wars Battlefront. And then I also had it for the PC, I think. So, road trips,
Such a fun game.
It is.
Yeah. Did you play it, Dylan?
I never owned it. I had friends that owned it.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. That was like the game to play
when you
went over to different friend games.
Yeah.
It was like I feel like it came out before Halo or around the same time.
Around the same time, yeah.
Yeah, so it was like Battlefront and then you had a Halo.
Yeah.
And those were the games.
Star Wars Battlefront 2 was released around the same time that The Revenge of the Sith was.
Yeah.
So it was like 2005, was it? So I don't know when Halo came out. But it was like, also I don't know when Call of Duty came out, but for me it was definitely the Call of Duty before Call of Duty. Okay, and then the last game that I chose was Spore. So this is also a game that I played in middle school quite a bit. It was
Just real quick on Battlefront 2, just as experience. My freshman year, one of the guys I lived near and with, he got it on his computer, and he just pounded it out in like 3 days. He pounded out the campaign.
Really?
Yeah. He just did that. So
actually, I have a question now because I'm trying to remember so long ago, but the campaign was where you'd have the map and all the different planet systems and you'd go to each one and have to like take them over, or was that Galactic Conquest?
It was one of those.
It was one of those.
But that was the best.
So anyway, Spore.
Yeah, Spore. So this was a PC game. I don't think they had it in any other console, but it's like a simulation game where you start as a single cell organism and you develop into this like galactic civilization, basically. So you like kind of continue to grow, and there's like different things that you can do to accomplish or to like progress your species or whatever. And you start as just like a simple animal, and then eventually you gain intelligence where you're like this tribe, and then you have to compete against other tribes. And there's like different options where you can be like more diplomatic, where you guys like join forces or just like
take over
conflict.
Take over.
Yeah, just take over, which was
like Gandhi.
Of course, the option that I would always choose, because as a 12-year-old boy, that was always the most fun.
The Gandhi references to World of Civilizations, I don't know if you guys have ever played that.
I have not, but I know what the game is.
Yeah, Gandhi is the most violent character.
Is he?
Yeah, no, so what happened is they set, like, his peacefulness to zero, but in the original game, the game freaks out, because he's supposed to get more peaceful over time.
Hmm.
So after he gets like below zero, his violence just shoots up to like the highest violence, and he just starts attacking everyone.
Wow.
So it's a joke within the game now that they have Gandhi as the most violent character. So
Spore.
Yeah, but anyway, you get into this like civilization mode where you have this like big city, this almost country, and there's different countries all over the world, and you have to trade with them, so you get money and to build resources, and then you can again take over the world as like diplomatically or just by like conflict where you like take over these cities. And then eventually you get to the point where it's like on a interstellar level where you have this ship and you can create allies that travel with you, and you can expand an empire by making colonies on these planets or by like taking over other like little
species,
galactic civilizations. So it's really fun, and there's really no like end to the game. Like you just keep going.
So you can just become a tyrannical dictator.
You can, yeah, if you want to. And you can create like trade relationships with other galactic little civilizations to get money and sell your resources that you have on other planets and stuff. And there's like,
and it all started out as you being a spore.
As being a spore, yes. So it's a lot of fun.
Science.
I would spend many hours of my middle school life playing that game.
I remember my cousin had like a trial version of this, so like you only could get to the tribal level, but it was still a fun game.
It was, yeah. It was a good thing.
All right, so the three games I chose, we're going to start with Minecraft. Minecraft is a modern classic. If you haven't played the game, basically you just wake up in this world full of blocks of different resources, including dirt, rock, wood, clay, sand, regular elemental stuff, and you mine them, and you build your home, and you build stuff, and you do fun stuff, and there really is no objective to the game. It's just what your imagination can tell you to do.
Well, the objective is to kill the Ender Dragon.
Okay,
yeah,
there is the Ender Dragon, and if you really want to get technical, but you don't have to do that to enjoy the game. There really is no campaign. Spent hours in Minecraft. I joined a couple servers every now and then. Those made me sad because people scared me online when I was like 12. But I still enjoyed the game. One time I was a big Doctor Who fan growing up. One time I literally built a TARDIS.
Oh, wow.
And like I made the inside, I made an illusion to make the inside look bigger.
Oh.
Minecraft. Carter, did you play Minecraft? Dylan,
I
know you did.
That much, but I mean, everybody played.
So the summer, Dylan and I lived in D.C. together, and Dylan had his Xbox there. And Dylan would play different video games, but I just really played Minecraft on his Xbox because I didn't bring mine. And so I just played Minecraft a lot.
Yeah, Minecraft is fun. One of my favorite things, I mean, I mentioned this before, but yeah, LAN parties with me and my friends, we would like have all these different accounts for our friends that didn't own Minecraft so they could get on and play too. And it was a fun time. One of my favorite things is Minecraft and the Hunger Games were big at the same
time.
Yeah.
Mm. And so you'd have servers that were Battle Royale, Minecraft, Hunger Games style things.
Wow. So much fun.
They were way fun.
I killed so many people.
Okay, but it was also terrifying when you just see this person like running across the field with a sword and you don't have any weapons. It's just like this little Minecraft thing with its square arm flying by it. And it was...
That's
2013 was wild.
Yeah,
you know?
It was a wild time.
Yeah, Minecraft was just... It's just... There's not really words to describe how great it is. It's just...
It's creative. Yeah, it's...
I remember recently there was this big, like, Fortnite bad, Minecraft good thing in the meme sphere. Like, everybody was just crapping on Fortnite and being like, hey, you know, Minecraft's pretty cool. Like, and there was this joke about, like, there was this meme I saw. It was like, 2008, oh, you play Minecraft? That's so nerdy. 2012, oh, Minecraft's pretty cool. 2014... Ew, nobody plays Minecraft anymore, and then it's like 2019. Yo, you play Minecraft? At least it's not Fortnite. Like,
I still play Minecraft on my PC.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I have it on my Xbox, too. That's the thing. It's like I should just focus all on one world and build it that way, but I'm like, six worlds ought to do it.
Yeah. So then my next video game was a Game Boy classic. I played a lot of Game Boy as a kid. My parents didn't buy me a console until I was a little older, and so I played a lot of Game Boy. But one of my favorites was Pokemon Leaf Green. As a kid who loved Pokemon, like that game was so fun because you got to live out your dreams of being a Pokemon trainer.
That stuff hit different,
dog. But like one of the hardest parts that I look back on was like I would just get the starter Pokemon and just train it to a level 100 and defeat everybody with it. And that's not a good strategy because once you get to the Elite Four, that's not a good strategy because they will decimate your starter Pokemon. You have to develop other Pokemon. And so in recent years, the last 5 years, I've gone back, I've really worked on developing all my Pokemon. It was a really fun game. Little Easter eggs every now and then. Mm-hmm. And it was a really fun game.
Yeah, no. And Leaf Green is the redevelopment of the original Red, Blue,
Kanto region.
Yeah, the Kanto region, and then it
Charizard,
into
Blastoise.
Yeah,
whatever.
That's funny because I did. My first Pokemon game was Pokemon Crystal on the Game Boy Color, and I did the same thing, but I did it with Totodile, who turned into Frolligator at the end.
Yeah,
and so I had a level 100 Frolligator, and he could take on the Elite Four by himself.
Well, my level 1 Charizard could never do it.
No, well, and that's the thing. It's like the Elite Four in the original games was much more widespread in their Pokemon use than the Elite Four in the second one, because most of them are either weak or neutral to water-type Pokemon.
Yeah.
So I would have, like, I had him, and then I had, like, a red Gyarados in Crystal.
But I will always say, in Leaf Green, the Charmander choosers were the best Pokemon trainers because you have to, the first gym is Brock with the rock type Pokemon, which the fire type Pokemon is not going to be good against. Then the second one is the water type Pokemon. And so I always considered myself the greatest of trainers. So that was me and Dylan high five.
Yeah.
Then my final game isn't one single game, it's a series of games. It's the Lego Star Wars games. Loved these games. They're just silly, they're fun. I mean, you're not really like, I mean, if you die, your parts explode, like the legs pop off and your arms pop off.
Yeah.
But they were so fun. I don't know, not a lot to say about those.
Good humor,
just fun. They were all the Lego movie, like Lego Harry Potter, Lego Indiana Jones, they were all pretty similar. But Lego Star Wars was really fun.
Definitely the best of all.
I remember you have like this diner you're in.
Cantina, Mos Eisley.
And then you can like gain access to like different characters
that
you can play as.
Yeah.
And I would always love to play R2-D2, even though he was like garbage. let's do some honorable mentions, ones that I thought we could have talked about but we didn't. Mario Kart 64 on the Nintendo 64, that was a good one. GoldenEye on 64. Any honorable mentions for you two?
I was thinking maybe Super Smash Brothers of any kind.
Yeah, Super Smash Bros. We didn't dive into that. I was never a big Smash Bro, but I love the game. It's fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fun fact about GoldenEye 64. is the multiplayer, which is arguably like the best part of that game.
Uh-huh.
It was added in the last 3 weeks of development, just as like, you know, we might as well.
We might as well throw in a multiplayer.
No, I would say two video games to include would be Halo, specifically Halo 2. I don't know if you guys have ever played Halo 2.
Never played Halo.
You guys haven't?
I don't know.
Nah.
I didn't play Halo very much. I had Halo Reach,
uh-huh.
but that was like the one that I played.
Halo Reach is pretty good, but Halo 2 is probably the best game. It was an excellent follow-up to the original Halo.
Yeah.
And then the other one, I'm not very good at this game. I actually suck at this game, but StarCraft. StarCraft. I play StarCraft too. I'm awful. I only play Terran, and I just try to nuke people, and I get destroyed every single time.
Another honorable mention, Star Fox 64.
Star Fox 64, yeah.
So let's dive into the bracket challenge. So our first bracket challenge is going to be Star Wars Battlefront 2 versus Minecraft. This is a hard one. I'm going to vote Battlefront 2. Which kind of sounds crazy because it wasn't my game. But Battlefront 2 just has so much nostalgia for me that, like, that game was so much fun. And whereas, like, Minecraft in some cases, I don't know. I liked the direction that Battlefront 2 provides. I don't know. What are you guys' thoughts?
I actually want to go with Minecraft here because you have this thing. So, Battlefront 2 still has kind of this cult following. You have people that still play it, but I don't think there's a community that you see with Minecraft still.
Mm-hmm.
Minecraft came out,
2007-ish?
Yeah, Minecraft has been around for a while. And I think just in 2011, so it's almost hitting a decade, but Minecraft being very open world, no specific plot line. The enjoyment is found within people trying to create the world. And moreover, you can modify Minecraft to do really fun things. And I just think, like, the big community around it. I don't know if you guys were around in YouTube. And I mean, I imagine you are. But during, like, 2012, 2013.
There were some big games.
That's the thing. It's like, 2012, it's only been out for a year. And it has over, like, 50 million players, and there's this huge thing on YouTube where
You would watch people play,
and you would watch these videos of these stupid songs, and they were enjoyable because of just this community that it created. And I think that's, I think Battlefront is fun. I think there's a lot of nostalgia there, but I just think that Minecraft.
All right, then I'm going to have to change my vote to Minecraft. I'm changing
yes!
my vote.
You know, that was a pretty good argument. Even though Star Wars Battlefront was mine and it's very nostalgic for me, I'll put my vote for that just so there's a vote on the record for Star Wars Battlefront.
All right.
But I think I would definitely have to say Minecraft just because it's lasted so long. Like, there may have been times where it was more popular or less popular, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's always been a pretty strong and consistent community.
Yeah.
Minecraft. And just the whole open concept of Minecraft, I think, is
mm-hmm.
what makes it a good game.
Yeah, I know. I mean, a lot of people say that it's kind of dead, but to give you a sense, so it still has 112 monthly active players. So,
really?
Yeah. So it's still huge. I don't think it's as big as, like, Fortnite or
some of these
other. But, yeah.
All right, so Minecraft moves on. Let's do the next one. Lego Star Wars versus the NCAA video game series.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually kind of a good matchup to video game series. I'm going to actually fall on NCAA. I never played them a lot, but I just think that the uniqueness of sports video games, I don't know. What are you guys' thoughts? I don't really have an argument for or against. I just my instincts push me towards NCAA.
Yeah, these are both games that I enjoyed quite a bit. I played both Lego Star Wars on, like, basically every console that I had, PC, Game Boy, DS, whatever. But, I think in terms of sports video games, there is not very much like the NCAA games. Just with, like, its ability to, like, simulate and give people, like, a college sports
experience,
which I think is incredibly awesome and very American and makes me feel patriotic.
USA.
Dylan, where's your vote going to lie?
You know, I'm going to go on record with Lego Star Wars simply because I've never played Madden. I've only played one Madden game, and I was awful, and I just threw the ball down the center every time. I didn't know what I was doing. So I've never played it, but I have played Lego Star Wars, so well.
See, and then it's funny because I have played Lego Star Wars and not a lot of NCAA, but I'm still going to fall with NCAA just because of the uniqueness. So. Yeah. All right, that moves on. Okay, now Chex Quest versus Spore. We think we all know where Dylan's going to lie with Chex Quest.
Chex Quest.
And then Carter.
Let me just show you a picture of Chex Quest real quick. Look at this guy. He is wearing a piece of armor that is a Chex. That is a Chex, and there's these aliens, and there's this crazy spaceship over here. Just, wow.
Wow. You know, I gotta say, it is pretty awesome how popular that got because it came out of cereal box. Like,
and that's why I'm going to land with it, because like that's such a 90s thing that like this parody of a cheap parody video game that a cereal company was going to create became huge.
That's had two sequels, too. It's had two sequels.
Yeah, that is very impressive. I think I'll go with Chex
Quest. Our first unanimous is for Chex Quest. Spore is really cool, though. I like
Spore.
Spore is cool. Spore. Yeah, Spore is awesome.
I think we're just going with Chex Quest because it is so funky.
Yeah.
All right, next is Pokemon Leaf Green versus World of Warcraft. I'm going to have to vote for Pokemon Leaf Green just because it was such a big... Like, I would play that game for hours. And, you know, I played it on the SP, so the screen was really well lit.
Yeah.
But, like, if you played it on the old, like, just Game Boy Advance, the non-SP, you were driving home from Grandma's and the light... You had to, like, wait for the streetlights on the interstate to, like...
Yeah, no, exactly.
And you could, like, only move every, like, 3 seconds. And...
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm gonna have to go with Pokemon as well. I never played World of Warcraft, but I played Pokemon, and Pokemon is just a classic.
Yeah. No, I'm gonna have to go with Pokemon too. Sorry to all the World of
Warcraft
people
fans
out there, but I think just in terms of like the sense of community that we've talked about before, I think Pokemon came out before World of Warcraft. Arguably one of the more influential role-playing games. It is a role-playing game.
Well, it's interesting because Pokemon started out as the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Started out as the video game and the trading card game. And, like, if you watch Crash Course Video Games, which I'll probably post a link for their page in our episode description, because it's a really good series. You all should watch it. But they talk about, like, how the creators of Pokemon would talk about the anime and, like, the manga that they made, and they were like, yeah, we made this to sell more games and to sell more trading cards. So, like, it's all focused around the game.
Yeah. I know. No, but, yeah, I vote for Pokemon in this instance.
All right. Next battle is Minecraft versus Super Mario Bros. I'm going to have to stick with Minecraft, even though it didn't sound like I was going to originally. I'm going to stick with Minecraft.
You know, you go ahead.
Okay, so for this bracket, are we doing most influential or just best?
You need to vote how you think you need to vote.
I'm gonna go with Super Mario's Brothers here, simply because of the nostalgia. Okay. That was the first video game I remember playing.
What's influential?
Oh, and that's the thing. I remember playing it when I was like 5 or 6. I think I was like 6. Yeah, because my family got a Game Boy Color when I was about 6. And then we got Super Mario Brothers, and then like 6 months later on my birthday, we got Pokemon Crystal. And those were like the two video games I remember playing. And I just remember it would go up, and on that first level, like I didn't know what was going on, and my hands barely could hold the Game Boy Color, but I'm like, I'm gonna do it. And Mario's also simple enough that anyone can play Mario.
Yeah.
Like, a 5-year-old can play Mario. I'm living truth to that. Like, I played Mario.
But not all of us are Dylan Passmore, okay?
I believe in you and your ability to play Super Mario Brothers.
Thanks. All right, Carter.
I'm going to have to go with Super Mario Brothers as well.
Okay. Sad rip to Minecraft. No, I like it. It's hard, but
it
we
is.
Are.
It's a tough matchup, but
But because they're both so influential and so impactful on video games, right?
Well,
like,
yeah.
When you think of the most influential modern video game, you probably think of Minecraft. A lot of people probably think of Minecraft. And you think of the most influential kind of older game, you probably think Mario.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Next we're now in the quarterfinals. We're going to have Chex Quest versus Pokemon Leaf Green.
Dang it.
I don't.
My babies.
I'm going to have to go with Pokemon on this one.
I think I'm going to have to land Pokemon as well.
Yeah, I'm going to have to land Pokemon.
Even though the story behind Chex Quest is this.
You guys are going to have to play
story.
It.
I want to play it now.
It's really good. You'll have to. I think they re-released it like last year or something like that. They re-released it pretty lately, and they have like a documentary about it now. And it's just such, I don't know. And I think these kind of discussions are really hard because there's so much nostalgia
and personal ties to these. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no, but Chex Quest is, if you haven't played Chex Quest, it's such a zany.
I feel like most people are going to walk away from this being like, yo, I got to look up this Chex Quest.
Yeah.
All right. Next in the quarterfinals is the Super Mario Bros. Semifinals. Super Mario Bros. Versus the NCAA video game series. I'm going to have to go with Mario.
You know, I will go with Mario as well, but on the record, NCAA football is the greatest sports video game franchise in the history of mankind.
Yeah, Mario.
All right. That gives us the final Super Smash Attack, whatever you want to call it. I'm just using a bunch of video game terms that I'm making up. Super Mario Bros. Versus Pokemon Leaf Green. This is a hard one. I'm going to go with Pokemon just because I didn't play a whole lot of Mario growing up, and so it's that nostalgia factor. But I do recognize that Mario had a huge impact, probably more so than Pokemon. Mario is, like, when people think, especially, like, boomers... Okay, boomer. When they think video games, a lot of them think of the little plumber, the little Italian plumber who jumps around. And
well, yeah, and I think too, if this was Pokemon Red or Pokemon Yellow, I'd be like, oh yeah, Pokemon, because I love Pokemon. But since it's Leaf Green, and Leaf Green was a re-release of a redevelopment of the original game, I'm gonna have to go with Super Mario Brothers, because I think it was like Super Mario Brothers was the first game, in my opinion, that really said, this is profitable to have personalized games for everyone to own the game personally, not have to go to the arcade, and like there can be a community developed around it. There can be kind of this it can be profitable.
Well, like also the franchise behind it, like the franchise of Mario is a franchise. Mario is a brand.
It's huge.
It's a brand, and that's kind of where it all starts.
Well, and I think too, you brought up this factor with Pokemon. It's like, well, you have like the anime and the manga, and they're like, well, we're trying to sell the game. Mario, you don't have a strong show.
Support. You don't have a support network.
Yeah, you don't. It's just the game itself,
right?
So that's why I'd argue with that. I mean, and I know Mario's not like the super gamer game where you have to have a ton of skill to get through it. Unless you do a Luigi's Challenge. Luigi's Challenge is pretty hard. Actually, it's not, but...
It's different.
It's different.
Well, and then you've also seen in... And I think you see these in Pokemon speedruns, but like some of the speedruns in Mario are really impressive. Like people will complete the game in like 17 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, have you ever seen... You should look up speedruns.
No. So I used to speedrun for Super Mario Brothers, and I could complete the game in 5 minutes.
Okay, well, I don't know what the exact time is, but, like, yeah, it's pretty impressive.
The world record right now is about 420. Nice.
Dang it, Dylan. Okay, so Dylan's on with Super Mario Brothers. I'm Pokemon. Carter.
I'm going to have to go with Super Mario Brothers.
Which I get, and I totally support. Yeah. So, Super Mario Brothers is considered by us, three white guys from the America region, the greatest video game of all time.
But it's a Japanese game where you play an Italian man, so there's nothing more American about it.
Well, great. I think this has been a really great discussion. You know, we kind of had to scramble to come up with this topic and kind of get some good talking points because of our lack of ability to talk about Canada. Let's talk about what we're going to talk about next week. Do you guys remember what we decided on?
I think it was Star Wars, right?
Yep. We're going to talk about Star Wars because...
Preparation for episode 9.
Yes. Also, last night I started the Mandalorian.
Is it good?
Blown me away.
Really?
Have you not seen the Mandalorian?
No, I haven't.
Fluff, dude.
I know.
Dude, it's amazing.
It's
I'm only three episodes in. It is the soundtrack, the characters, the atmosphere, everything about that show.
Baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda. I would die for Baby Yoda.
I would die for Baby Yoda.
I'm pretty sure every single one of us in this room would, and I haven't even freaking seen The Mandalorian.
And I've seen Baby Yoda, and I would die for him.
One of my favorite things on the internet right now, it's like, yeah, Baby Groot and Baby Yoda. Which one would you die for? Like, I would use Baby Groot as firewood for Baby Yoda to keep it warm. And I was like, true.
I also saw this thing that they said, it was like, it's a good thing that The Mandalorian isn't on HBO and it's on Disney, because you know Disney's not going to do anything to Baby Yoda, but HBO will freaking throw him a chip.
Sorry, we can talk about this next time, but I actually don't know what they're going to do with Baby Yoda. Like,
it scares me.
I could see them killing off Baby Yoda.
So we'll dive into Star Wars, everything Star Wars, prequels, sequels, the original series.
How the prequels are actually a lot better than you guys are saying.
Yeah, prequels are great. all next week, tune in, episode 6. No. Yeah, episode 6. We're diving in. Episode 6, Star Wars. We'll see you then. Goodbye.
Bye.